Hey everybody, today we'll be starting a new book. We'll be going into the book of Amos. And so our passage today is Amos chapter 1, starting from verse 1 and going into chapter 2, verse 3. So again, if you have your Bible out, you can pull up to Amos chapter 1 and we'll be reading all the way to chapter 2, verse 3. So let me start us off by reading it for us. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn, and the top of Carmel withers. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing sledges of iron. So I will send a fire upon the house of Hazael, and it shall devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad. I will break the gate bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avin, and him who holds the scepter from Beth-Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they carried into exile a whole people to deliver them up to Edom. So I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, and it shall devour her strongholds. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and him who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they delivered up a whole people to Edom, and did not remember the covenant of brotherhood. So I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, and it shall devour her strongholds. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword, and cast off all pity, and his anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. So I will send a fire upon Teman, and it shall devour the strongholds of Bozrah. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the Ammonites, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. So I will kindle a fire in the wall of Rabbah, and it shall devour her strongholds, with shouting on the day of battle, with a tempest in the day of the whirlwind. And their king shall go into exile, he and his princes together, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because he burned to lime the bones of the king of Edom. So I will send a fire upon Moab, and it shall devour the stronghold of Kirioth, and Moab shall die amid uproar, amid shouting and the sound of the trumpet. I will cut off the ruler from its midst, and will kill all its princes with him, says the Lord." All right, so this was maybe a little bit of a longer passage, but let me start by giving some background on the book of Amos. So Amos, he wasn't a prophet by trade. He was instead actually a shepherd. He was one of the shepherds in a part of Israel called Tekoa, which we saw at the very beginning of the chapter. It says he lived and prophesied in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, king of Israel. And this is just a quick reminder that during this time, Israel was split into two nations, Judah, which was the southern kingdom, and then Israel, the northern kingdom. According to scholars, this was actually a time in Israel's history where they were in pretty stable condition and even experiencing some level of wealth and prosperity. And so it's in this context that Amos is called upon God to speak to his people. He's speaking this prophecy to the people of Israel, the northern kingdom. All right, so you might have noticed in our passage today that this is all about a bunch of other nations that actually aren't Israel. As your Bible's subheading might say, these are judgments on Israel's neighbors. And yes, just for reference, all of these nations that were mentioned here, they're all geographical neighbors of Israel. God, through the prophet Amos, calls judgment upon these nations of Damascus, Gaza, Tyre, Edom, Ammon, and Moab. And the way each of these judgments is written, the way it's written, can feel a bit repetitive. You know, it's something along the lines of, for three transgressions of, insert name of nation here, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because, insert sin here, so I will send a fire to, insert location here. It was a kind of a repetitive structure in terms of what God is saying. And so, you know, I wouldn't really blame you if you kind of tuned out a little bit because of this repetitive nature, as well as the fact that Frankly, these are probably, to most of us, a lot of places and names that you're probably not all that familiar with. But here's what you do need to know. These nations, all the ones that we read here, they've committed transgressions, not just once or twice, but many times over. And these transgressions are really egregious in nature. All of them have been a part of destruction, exiling entire people groups, anger and murder, and there's even this graphic imagery of ripping open pregnant women in order to conquer and increase territory. These nations have committed great sins, and for their sins, God is planning on punishing them. Now, this is where you might ask yourself, wait, why would God choose to punish these nations? That doesn't sound fair. Like, why does he care about what they do? An analogy I can sort of think of, and maybe it might make sense to some of us here, this might feel like the equivalent of a parent punishing someone else's kid. I'm not a parent, but I can imagine that it'd be really strange to go up to some other person's kid and just start punishing them, like yelling at them or taking away their toys or whatever other things that they might have, even though they're not my kid. That might seem unfair or not right, at the very least, just strange. And that's an interesting question. Why would God do this? Why does he care about what the other nations are doing? Well, the difference here is that God isn't just the God of Israel or Judah. Again, a parent is the parent of, their own kids. But in this situation, God is not just the God of Israel and Judah. He's the God of the whole earth, the whole universe. Yes, these nations are not God-fearing peoples, but they're still ultimately accountable to God and his ways, which includes his moral standards and ways of living. But instead of living according to his ways, they've committed great transgressions and clearly gone against God's ways, hence the reason for their punishment. Now, even now, you could be thinking, what if they just didn't know any better? They're not God's people. That doesn't seem fair. And yeah, I get where you're coming from. But as we'll see in the coming days, Israel isn't off the hook either. In fact, they'll be held accountable in an even greater way as God's people. But again, here are Israel's neighbors. They're the surrounding nations. They're receiving punishment from God. And so, what can we take away from this? Well, as sobering and difficult as this might sound to us, the reality is that just as all of these nations were under the authority of God, the same thing applies today. God is still God of the whole universe, which means all those who live against his will face his judgment. And while it isn't our job to save them from this judgment, we are supposed to play a part in pointing them to salvation in Jesus Christ. As we can see from the language of judgment here, God takes sin very seriously. And so we can't be passive observers. And of course, we have to consider how we are living, but also we have to consider how we can play a part in actively leading others who don't yet know Jesus to come to know him and receive salvation. And so it's important for us to ask ourselves, who are our neighbors? Who are the people around us that we can help lead to God? Are there people in our lives who don't yet know Jesus? How can we be a part of leading them to him? What is our role? How can we care for, really love our neighbors, whether they're physical neighbors or just, the people that we interact with in person, online? How can we lead them to Jesus? So, with that, I encourage you to take some time to meditate on these questions. Again, who are the people around you who don't yet know Jesus? And how can you be a part of leading them to Jesus? And as you take some time to meditate on this, let me close for us by praying to close us out. Father, reading this passage can be a little sobering. It can be a little difficult to read, knowing your judgment, Father. But yeah, Lord, I just want to pray that you would give us a greater heart for our neighbors. Israel, as your people, we're meant to follow you, and as part of that, to be a blessing to the nations. And yet, Lord, as we'll read in the coming days, they didn't do that. And so, Lord, we want to learn from this, God, and be able to love you, yes, And of course, love you by also leading others to you. And so, Lord, help us to see. Help us to see who is around us who don't yet know you. And give us a heart of love to be a part of leading them to you, God, through words and actions. And so, God, open up our eyes, open up our hearts. And we pray for our neighbors. We pray for those around us, whether it be classmates, coworkers, or our literal neighbors, people that we live around. We pray for them that they would come to know you and that we could be a part of that work. So Lord, we do thank you for this word, for this time together with you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.